How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. At this time tomorrow, well, no, at this time plus 30 minutes tomorrow, we will be nails deep in a dirty vodka martini together.
You're right about that. I didn't realize the timing. It sounded like it was coming so fast, and it is. One 24-hour period plus 30 minutes. We're there.
It's happening. I don't know what is happening in the world, but man, I feel like everyone I know has had like a few weeks of like, oh, I've been surrounded by people who are all just like, doggy paddling.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to start, if you wanted me to start the podcast, but you wanted to, about dirty martinis, which I think is way better than what I had to say, because I was going to say what a shit day I had yesterday. And it's just been like day after day of crap.
Wow.
But I did a few things. So first of all, it was just like one of those annoying days. Like nothing went right at work. Nothing went right at home. Nothing went right with my family. Nothing went right. Like everybody that I hired to do a job of some sort, nobody could do their job. And it's like, I just hired you to do the job. Like stop asking me questions. Everything was bad. So I went home and I took our own advice. I went for a walk. I was just in a crap mood.
No.
It was shocking. 20 minutes later, I was in a better place, not in a perfect place by any means. And I was kind of worried, because it was like you were saying, I was like doggy paddling, and I was worried to wake up today to be like, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. But guess what? I woke up today and I was like, girl, you've got it. Let's go. And so today it was like a totally different feeling. And so we always talk about that, but it's funny when we're living it, what we're telling people, because we're in it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what we tell people to do all the time. Like you woke up and it's going to be a better day.
To that point, so the woman we're having on today on our show, I met her yesterday. Like, this is the fastest turnaround for, like, having somebody reach out. Like, a few people on this woman's team reached out to our show and said, hey, we think she'd be a great fit. You know, went through the whole pitch process. And, you know, like, we're busy. We have a lot of people. We are very, very lucky that we have a lot of people who want to come on the show.
I want to say we're picky, too. We do not accept everybody. We reject more people than we accept.
We're very picky. So, we had this call planned for, I don't even know how long, not a super long time, but maybe like a few weeks or something with this woman. Yesterday was a bad fucking day for me. The last several days have been, it's been hard. I get on the call with this woman, and I'll tell you what, I was prepped in my mind for like, I don't want to say that I thought it was going to suck, because we wouldn't be doing a call with somebody we thought was going to suck, but I had very low expectations for what I was met with. I'm like, all right, I got to vet this person. Let's see how it goes. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I've got a shit of other things I have to do. And I'm talking to her and I'm thinking like, oh, fuck. Whoa. And next thing you know, I'm like, my day has turned around. I'm seeing things from a totally different perspective. I mean, we always say, oh, I'm so excited to bring this person on the show. This is going to be a great show. But like, I actually feel that right now, Morgan, like this conversation, this is why this woman is very oh God, what's the word I'm looking for? She's very, very qualified and she's very logical. This is a woman who had like a massive background in finance and now heads her own firm in New York City. But there's some weird metaphysical stuff that she sprinkles in. And it is so surprising and so powerful and profound. And this conversation, I think, is going to be one for the books. And I can't wait to see the look on your face when some of this shit comes out of her mouth, because you're just going to be like, what?
When you said metaphysical, I was like, whoa. Because listeners, if you have listened to any of our shows, you know that I am not into that woo-woo crap. I am just black and white. And when people go off on these tangents, I usually cut them off and I'm like, what are we talking about here? So if I have to do that, don't worry. Andrea will reel me back in.
But like, it's so surprising coming from this particular guest. Like I'm telling you, it's a person who on paper, you are like, okay, you spent over a decade in finance. You had your own firm. Like she's very like super polished and professional. And then she says something and she's like, you're right. You heard me correctly. I believe it. I'll take it. I'll take it to my grave and I'll show you why. And you're like, okay. And it's like, it's amazing. So let's wrap up our moods. Let's get into this conversation because we are going to help our listeners prepare for the divorce battle. If you are heading into battle, this is the mindset. This is the energy. Let's go. So I gotta say, I chatted with our guest yesterday on the phone, like I said a few minutes ago, and this legal badass is such a wild blend of logic and metaphysics. And that's all I'm gonna say about that.
Okay, so when I went to law school, I did not read about logic and metaphysics, but I did read about logic. So you kind of have me there. And Andrea knows that I'm not into woo-woo stuff, but she said, hang with me, Morgan. We're going to get through this. So I can't wait to hear what our guest has to say.
This is going to be so wild. So today we have the distinct pleasure of chatting with Mia Poppy. Mia is the founder and managing partner of Poppy & Associates in New York City. The girl is no dummy. Let me tell you that. She had a career in banking and finance in the Bay Area for like a real long time. Then she switched over. She graduated from magna cum laude from North Carolina Central University School of Law. And then she went on to open up her own firm and somehow has blended the world of finance and matrimonial law together and is helping thousands of people divorce better. The metaphysical part we're going to get to, just you wait, because it gets crazy again. I have never had a conversation with a person who is so multidimensional in my life. My jaw is still on the ground from our conversation yesterday. So without further ado, Mia Poppy, welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Morgan and Andrea, thank you so much for inviting me. I did an intake call with Andrea and I knew I wanted to contribute to your community. And the reason why I knew that is because it was transparent. You guys care and you guys want to teach people how to divorce effectively and how to rebuild their lives. And that is my, as I would say to my girlfriend, that's my jam. So I am delighted to be here.
Mia, thank you again. And we're calling this episode, we're going to jump right in. We're calling this episode Preparing for Divorce Battle. And that's something that I can get behind because I've done it in my career with my clients a million times. And so if you're listening to this episode, you're either thinking, okay, I've got to be prepared in case it happens, or maybe you're in the middle of preparing for your divorce battle, or maybe you're in the middle of the divorce battle. We are going to focus on preventing what we are calling divorce psychosis, which is essentially when you've lost your mind in the divorce process and it's preventing you from making a smart decision when you're about to litigate. So Mia, in your opinion, you've obviously been doing this a long time. You've got a great, impressive background. Why do people end up in this psychosis state we're calling divorce psychosis?
So great question, Morgan. And first, I want to say to everybody, divorce psychosis is a real phenomenon. But the good news is, it's temporary. Divorce psychosis is a temporary state of losing your mind because of the divorce process. You got the courts, you got opposing counsel, you got your soon-to-be ex-spouse, and it is enough to make the most rational of us lose our minds. But losing your mind does not serve you, and if it's custody, or your children. So I'm teaming up with you ladies because I want to give people the toolkit, tactical toolkit on how not to stay in divorce psychosis. Emphasis on it's a temporary state, but you can't stay there. You got to be in and you got to be out. And I'm excited to partner with you guys, Morgan, to help people know how to get out.
Something that you just said that really struck me is that this can happen to anybody and everybody. This is, divorce psychosis is not just for people who are not informed or from a certain like walk of life. When you have everything beating down on you and the stakes are high, you are primed to enter this mental state of questioning everything that you knew to be so, right? Because that's what happens. You when you enter a marriage, you don't enter a marriage thinking that this is going to happen to you at some point. So you're already losing this bond. And then when you have a baby, you don't think to yourself, oh, well, one day I'm going to be entering a legal battle over what days and what times I'm going to be able to see this baby that has just exited my body, right? You don't, it's, and so everything feels so wildly out of control and so wildly unnatural. And we see it all the time. We see it in our private community. Morgan, I know that you've seen this happen to so many people, and it happens not even at the very beginning of the process. It's like slowly, right? It's like death by 100 paper cuts.
Yeah, it can be. And what I see a lot of times is at the beginning, you're trying to play nice in the sandbox. And that's the way at least I start out all my cases. And until we can't play nice, we're trying to be as nice as possible because it saves you dollars in your pockets. Some cases you can never start out nice, unfortunately, just because of how it is. But in the middle of the case, if it's becoming clear that the niceness isn't working, you're not getting anywhere where I practice going to mediation, and you have to gear up for court, inevitably you're going to see the temperature start rising in the case. You are going to see the nasty emails, the motions or the pleadings or the petitions, whatever people are filing in court, you're going to see them coming and they're going to be fast. And it is going to send you into a tailspin. And one thing I know, and one thing I do, and I want to hear about whether Mia does this too, I know if a client is starting to ramp up because I can see it, I can hear it in their voice, I see it in emails, etc. And so if it's, for instance, a Friday afternoon and I get a very inflammatory motion or a letter or something that I know is going to ruin my client's weekend, I don't send it on Friday because I don't want to ruin their mental space. Then what I like to do is get in front of it. On Monday, I'll call them and say, hey, you know what? We received this. This is the way I'm interpreting it. I'm going to send it to you after this call, but I want you to know that it's coming. Why do I do that? One, it takes the wind out of the sails of what somebody is looking at, this document that is so inflammatory. So they're one, they're preparing, and they don't go into this divorce psychosis where you just basically completely shut down. So my question for you, Mia, I want to hear your information. I have lots of ideas, but how do you give us some action steps on like preventing this? How do you prevent this when things are really heating up in this litigation space?
Okay, so Morgan, I must say that if I lived in the Chicago metro area, based off of what you just said and based off of my 18 years as a practitioner, I would retain you as my divorce attorney.
Well, thank you very much.
And I'm just telling you, the reason why is because already you're, what you just said, you want to protect your client's peace. I love what you said. If I get this inflammatory email on a Friday, I'm not shooting it to my client. That is a prophylactic against additional stress. And then before I completely answer that question, I just want to address what Andrea said, because I want your audience to know that divorce psychosis is just not for the layperson. Listen, I am an experienced practitioner. I have an incredible practice that supports my family and our New York City lifestyle. But many years ago, I was served with a custody petition. And I'm a matrimonial lawyer, and I went into divorce psychosis, meaning I lost my mind. And what made the difference for me was my circles. I had a lawyer who represented me, a lawyer much like you, with your pragmatism and your, Morgan, the way you protect your clients. And that was my first line defense. And then, you know, I had other people, and then I hired a team. But it's important for your audience to know that they're not experiencing divorce psychosis because they don't understand the process. Like, you are in the presence of an ultimate betrayal. Who would that not discombobulate, right? So divorce psychosis, I went through divorce psychosis, but my divorce psychosis was very truncated, and it was truncated because I had the right lawyer, right, who I'll have to introduce you guys to, because Morgan, much like you. And then I had a team. But the thing is, divorce psychosis will not serve us. It just won't serve us. It won't serve our children. And the answer is, like, you have to truncate it. You have to get out. And the short answer, Morgan, and we'll talk more, is team. And listen, I know that you guys have some listeners that are saying, Mia, you know, I can't afford to engage a team. I can't afford a Morgan. I can't afford a Mia. So, and I thought about this a lot, Andrea, after you and I spoke. What would I tell those listeners? And listen, start right where you are. Acknowledge that fear. Acknowledge that pit in your stomach. And then you must say to yourself, this real fear in the pit of my stomach, it will not give my kids a suboptimal end. So start where you are. Here we're going metaphysical. And convert your mindset. This pit in my stomach that's real will not dictate a less than optimal future for my kid. So it's just about starting where you are and making that one quality decision. It's all mental assent that this fear will not ruin my children's lives. So if you start there, mental assent, that's your starting point, ground zero. And I'm sure we're going to talk about where you go from ground zero, but ground zero is make a quality decision. This fear that's real and this I don't know what to do next will not lead to a horrible outcome for my kids.
Okay. I want to give this legs, and I'm going to ask you guys something, and I want you both to chime in here. Let's pretend that you're not represented by Morgan and it's 4:30 on Friday and your attorney just forwards you a message from opposing counsel, and it's fucking wild accusations, right? And you get this email and you're like, what? Wait, what? And then you shoot a response back to your attorney. And guess what? Now it's 4:45 and everybody's gone for the day, right? And here you go, off to the races. Your mind is spinning. Let's just say the accusation is something scary. Let's just even say that that's it. We're going to court and I'm taking the kids from you. I'm taking the dog from you. I'm taking our pet iguana. You're losing it all, right? What do you do? What are we telling these people to do? Because I know me, I could sit here all day and say, you guys, don't fall off the deep end. If I got that email, I'd be at the bottom of the deep end.
I'd be vomiting. I wouldn't even be vomiting. I would be paralyzed on the couch. So I want to know, Mia, what does somebody actually do with themselves? And then Morgan, I want to know what you would tell them.
Okay, I love this because I'm going to give the metaphysical advice and Morgan is going to bring it at a different level. But listen, listen. As hard as it may be, don't respond. Be still. Now, that's the metaphysical part. Just be still and know that right in the end always prevails and lies in the end always come to light. And listen, when I bring up issues with my clients and they go into this narrative, I always remind them, listen, only a hit dog barks. Those are only dogs that bark, hit dogs. If you are clear that this is a bunch of lies, you have to be still and you have to not self-defend because the truth always rises to the top. You know,
The
ship always rises to the...
Goes back into the bottle. I don't know where we're going.
Listen. There are rules of the universe that are in play. And you have to just stop trusting in the universe that really good will prevail. Because listen, really, bottom line is going tit for tat. I can tell you exactly what a judge is going to say. Both these parties don't get along and both these parties are arguing. Because if a judge can rule you guys tit for tat, then they can say that's their card to not having to listen to either of you. If a judge can say these parties are going tit for tat, that's their way of nullifying both of you. You know, listen, judges have a job to do and they want to make their job as easy as possible. And if they can say these two parties, right? And so I know everybody's heard it, you know, Andrea, time and time again, especially if you're pro se, don't engage, because the only time that any storylines matter is at trial. All of these court appearances that we make prior to trial, it's just like on Charlie Brown, blah, 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 blah. So listen, it doesn't take money to have EQ, emotional intelligence. You don't have to have any money to do that, right? You need no money. When you get an email, my best suggestion to you, and you know, I went through a custody. I've been divorced twice because three is the charmer, is what I tell everybody. Charmer. But listen, I've been divorced twice and I've been through a litigated custody battle in the state of New York. And in court and in litigation, people lie. So let me tell you that so that when they are lying in court and they're lying in the email, you know, this is what everybody does. And hopefully that will help you to just not respond and to just remain at peace at yourself, because every iota of peace that you sit in becomes a rock for your children to stand on. Please take that.
A rock for your kids to stand on. Well, that makes you want to do the right thing. Morgan, what do you tell people in that case?
So I'm on Mia's side to some extent. I don't know that the universe gives you everything you want, but if it does, I really just need more universe in my life. And you know what? I love the positivity. So if you're out there listening and you're like, yeah, I think the universe is going to bring me all the good stuff, God bless, you do you. I'm thinking more about, you know, if I got that or a client got that, what do I do? So the first step I would say is, number one, if you're I hope you're not pro se, because if you're starting a litigation battle and going into a litigation battle, the number one thing is you need somebody on your side. You don't know what you don't know. If you didn't go to law school and you're not a lawyer and you don't practice in divorce, because you can be a lawyer in a different area of law, but you don't know what the hell you're doing. So you don't want that to happen. So again, if you're pro se, try to get a lawyer. So you get this horrible, nasty letter or email, something like that on a Friday afternoon. The first thing that you want to do is, if your lawyer just forwards it to you, you want to respond to your lawyer and just tell them, listen, this is pretty upsetting to me. I know it's after hours, but do you have some time to touch base today or tomorrow? But I'm really shaken by this. They may or may not respond to you at that point, because every lawyer, even the best of them, deserves a break on the weekends too, okay? So don't take it personally if they don't respond to you. If it's not a true emergency, they might not respond to you. Let's just play it out. They don't respond to you. What do you do next? Okay. The next thing I want you to do is exactly what Andrea and I tell you all the time, which is shut your computer, turn off your phone, and get your ass out there for a walk. Okay. I want you to start walking. Take time to unwind. It takes 20 minutes to unwind your stress. But when you are at a level 15 out of 10, it could take an hour. It could take 2 hours. And even then, after your walk, you're still going to be pissed off and shaken. So the first thing is to get a walk in. Then what I would say to you is, it takes about a good 24 hours to start kind of putting your thoughts together as to any kind of response. And I agree with Mia. Do not respond. Do not respond until you've talked to your lawyer. But there are things that you can do to kind of calm yourself before you speak with your lawyer about how to respond. The thing that I would say is, after that evening, take the evening, go to bed, do your best to sleep. I'm sure it'll be hard. But the next morning, when you're a little more fresh and a little more calmed down, I want you to sit down at your computer and take their allegations and write bullet points as to why they're wrong. Whether it's like, I know that they said that the sky is blue, but here's my photo. I have a photo that shows on this day the sky is gray. You're going to do bullet points so that when you speak with your lawyer, maybe you want to send it to them in advance, or maybe you want to go through it with your lawyer so that they have the full picture and they can give you the whether you're going to respond or not, or they're going to respond or not, based upon true evidence. And Mia said it right. Lies come out in the end. You've just got to give your lawyer the facts to bring out those lies. So that would be the to-do list of when you get one of those nasty grams.
After listening to the two of you, I now have, I'm a healed person, and I now have some feedback of my own. Don't lie to yourself and pretend that you're okay if you're not okay. When you get an email like that, you're going to be affected. If you weren't affected, you wouldn't be human. So when you're going on that walk that I strongly suggest you go on, don't just power walk and think everything is fine. Okay, but whatever. Annoying email, moving on. No, I want you to take a minute and I want you to feel that pit in your stomach. And I want you to say, ouch, ouch, fuck, that hurts.
Yep.
I feel scared. Admitting that you feel scared is not a defeat. It's a natural feeling. But then I think it's really important to recognize, whatever comes after this, I am not my thoughts. Any thoughts that I have, it's a thought. I'm going to observe the thought. I'm going to get curious about what I'm thinking. I'm not going to spiral, but I am going to acknowledge the fact that this is happening. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not scared. The next thing that I want to say is, one of the things that Morgan talked about is responding to your attorney. I don't want you to respond to your attorney without looking at our guide on how you effectively communicate to your counsel. Because when you are triggered, that is the best time for you to send a really long-winded email that, guess what, girl? You're about to pay $230 for your attorney to read an email that says that you're stressed out and it's Friday at 4:45 and you've got to go do this. So be mindful of how you communicate. And in that same guide that we have, we give you a template for a timeline. a timeline is exactly what you utilize here. If you were going to say what Morgan's talking about, the next day during your first morning cup of coffee, and you're saying, okay, I know that Brenda is telling me that the sky is blue, that I'm Chad, and I have evidence that the sky was actually gray on the day in question. Use that timeline that we're giving you to keep all of your thoughts in place so that you are communicating effectively.
And before we move on for more action steps, because I know that's why you're here listening to this, and we'll give you them, don't worry about it. I want to normalize one thing, which is I don't want you to feel bad that you're so triggered by something, because it happens, and Andrea kind of mentioned it really quickly, but I want to reiterate this. It happens to literally the person on the park bench or in Park Avenue. It does not matter your social or economic status. Everybody goes through it. And I can tell you by experience, because my clientele is very high end. So is Mia's. I've represented celebrities, billionaires, athletes. They all get triggered by the same things that you do. So I don't want you to feel like, God, I'm a loser. Like, I can't get over this. No, it's going to ruin your day. It is. All right, let's move on, get some more action steps.
So Mia, somebody comes into your office, okay, one of your clients, and you're tasked that day, right, with preparing them for litigation. Like, you're going to trial, right? And they have a meeting with you, and you guys are going through, let's just say you're preparing them for the beginning. And you see that in front of you is a client who is starting to like disassociate because they are so overwhelmed with what's about to happen. And then you realize, I got to put pause on this because I need to attend to what's going on with this person, because they're about to turn into a terrible client and this could blow up everything for them. What do you tell them? What do you do?
So first of all, I don't want to digress from this great dialogue, but I have to say, in this moment, I'm feeling Andrea and Morgan like we are sisters from another mother.
We've got a Black American, a Jew, and a Gentile walked into a bar. Where do we go?
Exactly. But listen, you know, so like, not only am I a Black American, I'm a Southern American, born and raised South Carolina. And, you know, Morgan, when you were talking, I had to control myself because I wanted to say, amen, 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 amen. So much of what you said was spot on. But Andrea, listen, first of all, with all of my clients, before we go into court, before we even go into a conference, I always, as a practitioner, do a meeting with my clients, and I tell them, I want to level set expectations.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
People, you know, listen, court is scary and it's a mystery. And they don't understand naturally that our legal system in the United States is constructed to be an adversarial legal system. They don't understand that opposing counsel is going to say shit, calculated to get a rise. It's an adversarial system that was created. But I just had a call with a client, and, you know, her husband is private equity, typical New York City story, private equity, high power, blah, 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 blah. And my client has, you know, raised the children. And so I told her just today, we're getting ready to go into court. And I said, listen, let me just say, Anna, a part of my role as your lawyer is to protect you. That is a part of my role. So if you feel, whenever we're in the judicial context, if you feel like your heart is getting ready to literally beat out of your chest and you feel in danger because of the heart beating out of your chest, and if you feel like you absolutely can't hold it together, I say, you must let me know and I will remove you from the situation. I will say to the court, my client is not feeling well. We need to step out for 10 minutes. But I said to her, on my watch, you are not to completely melt. on my watch, if you are feeling these feelings and they're feeling overwhelming, you have to let me know. And please remember, a part of the job, you know, lawyers have many jobs. We're advocate, counselor, we're a lot of things. We're scriveners, but we are also protectors of our client. And I will get you out of this situation, right? Because if I can get a client in a hallway, I can talk a client 100% of the time off the cliff. But my clients on my watch can't implode. They have to let me know what they're feeling. And the final thing I'm going to say, ladies, is I want everybody to know that these feelings that you're feeling, this is only because you're human. And I'm not being derogatory against doctors, medicine, prescription, but you only don't feel if you're Xanaxed out. And nothing against anybody who needs Xanax, but unless you're Xanaxed out, the divorce process will evoke feelings.
Yeah.
And feel those feelings, because feeling those feelings and acknowledging those feelings and adequately dealing them with those feelings, that is your bridge to the next place.
I want to make this actionable. And Morgan, I want your input on this too. Is it better in court for an attorney to ask for a pause so that you can go out into the hall rather than show emotion in the courtroom?
That's a tricky question. I think it's on a case-by-case basis. You know, if someone's just quietly kind of crying because they're upset by the whole system, it might, if depending on what the lawyer is feeling from the judge, it might look okay. If, you know, I've had clients where you're standing up at the bench making different arguments and they're like, not only whispering in your ear, almost like arguing in your ear, trying to dissuade, you know, the other side or saying something against the other side, that's when it starts to look inappropriate. And that's when you might want to pull them out. But I'm going to put it into an action step because this is where we're going here. The action step is this. If you are feeling wherever, whenever, so out of control, meaning divorce psychosis, where your head is spinning and you're like, I am like literally crawling out of my body, we want you to tell your lawyer. We want you to tell your lawyer. Now, a good divorce lawyer would be able, if I'm looking at you, to see those signs. And I've told Andrea this, and we've said it on the podcast numerous times. When I see that, and it is a day where we're making big decisions, I'll just say, time out. We're not doing this today. You're not in a place to make these decisions. I need you to sleep on this and come back down to earth. Nothing against you. You're feeling what you're feeling, but we need to get you in a place where you can make a good decision. And that's what Mia's here to talk about, which is, let's not have you making decisions when you're in this, you know, kind of a funny term, divorce psychosis, but it happens. So anyway, so the action step is this. If your divorce lawyer isn't seeing it clearly because maybe they don't have eyes on you and maybe you're on the phone or maybe you're just feeling it in your house, we want you to tell your divorce lawyer how you're feeling and be honest about it. Don't minimize it. Don't downplay it. If you literally can't get anything done in your house because your head is spinning so bad because you're so upset, tell your divorce lawyer, especially before any big decisions are made.
Okay. I agree with that. And I'll just say, communicate this in the most effective way possible, because I think that yes, it's important that your attorney knows how you're feeling, but I want to be real, you guys. It is hard for people listening to the show to think, okay, well, you're telling me that I'm going to be charged for every single kind of communication that I have with this attorney. And then you're telling me that my attorney needs to be in the loop on everything. And I understand that challenge, right? Because you want to keep your attorney informed. They need to know all of this. And then you get the freaking bill and you're like, ah, well, I paid for every single time I told my attorney, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, hang on. I got to say something. God, I hope this mic is on. Of course it's on. We're recording a podcast. But if you guys are truly getting ready to prepare for a legal battle, you got to put all of the tools in place. And one of the biggest tools that we talk about all the time on this show is our family wizard. And people will often think like, oh God, I don't need a co-parenting app. And I want to look at them and say, how do you know that you don't need a co-parenting app? Did you think that you would be in this position that you're currently in? Probably not. You have no idea what's about to come your way. And if your children are the biggest focus, which I'm sure that they are, why wouldn't you put all of the guardrails in place so that your communication with your co-parent, whom you're about to go into battle with, is confined to an app that keeps all of the communication safe? Also, so that your kids are not absorbing any of this conflict, the last thing you want is to draw your kids into this. Our Family Wizard will help you not only have safer communication with your ex, it'll organize your calendar, it organizes your expenses, it even allows you to share good, positive things that are going on with your kids, because if you guys don't underestimate the power of something positive happening. You guys could be at total odds and you don't realize the power of sending somebody an image on Our Family Wizard of what, you know, little Johnny created in art class today. At the core, we're all human beings. And at the core, we all do want nothing but the best for our children. And I just can't say enough about using a tool like Our Family Wizard, or specifically Our Family Wizard, to help you during this time. And if you go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck20, you can get 20% off your first year. And that's all I have to say about that. So make sure, you guys, that you are succinct and effective with this. Don't go on and on and on in the emails. Save that for your girlfriend. Save that for your therapist. Be mindful with how you communicate. Mia, talk to me about meditation and why that is important to help ground somebody before they enter a legal battle.
So divorce psychosis will not serve you. And one of the things about meditation is meditation stills your nervous system, right? And, you know, I've said this in public forums many times that I believe a lot of autoimmune diseases arise out of the divorce process because your nervous system is so on fire. And so it depends on what you have, you know, at stake. I'm very public about the fact that I went through a highly litigated custody battle with a very rich guy. A very rich guy. And one of the first things I did when I was served with these papers is I engaged a meditation coach. I hired a meditation coach. And I paid and hired a grief and transition coach. And listen, we can't serve ourselves. We can't serve our communities. We certainly can't serve our children when your nervous system is firing like crazy. And, you know, to this day, it's my story, Andrea and Morgan, that the reason why I had such an overwhelmingly positive outcome in my custody litigation is because I engaged a meditation coach. Now, somebody might say, oh, but you're a lawyer, you had money to do that. You know, all right, I hear that. But, you know, I could have done free meditation apps. Also, I have Peloton. I pay $44 a month and there's meditation apps. I could have done that. But, you know, listen, if you really want to know where any of our hearts are, follow where our money goes. And so I understood that principle as a businesswoman. So I hired a meditation coach because, believe me, when I was paying this fee, monthly fee, mm-hmm. I wasn't going to show up to our Friday 90-minute sessions and kind of just not be present. I was going to show up at these 90-minute sessions and really tap in to the new toolkit. And I love that you guys threw everything down to practicality, because all of my life is about the toolkits that I use. If you ask me anything about my life, how did you go, Mia, from being a sharecropper's granddaughter, one generation your grandparents away from slavery, raised in South Carolina, not one teacher ever even mentioned college when you were in high school. How did you go from that to this? That's what I would say. I would say I was exposed to toolkits, much like the toolkits that you guys talk about. And I adopted the toolkits, right? So meditation calms your nervous system, because you can't serve yourself, you can't serve your communities, you can't serve your kids when you have all of these autoimmune diseases. And these things are real. Like, I went through a litigated custody matter, and I, right now, today, have an autoimmune disease that arose during that context called EOE, right? But these things are real. And meditation calms your nervous system. And I just highly recommend it. And if meditation is not your jam, find what is your jam. Your jam might be taking that walk. Like, mm-hmm. That is the jam. Please know. Don't say, oh, Mia said meditation. No, that was my thing. Walking is a thing. Jogging is a thing. Right?
Not for us.
No. Going, it's all a thing. But I'll tell you what's not a jam. I can tell you this. In your bed, in your pajamas, with a bag of potato chips, binging on Netflix when you're in the middle of a custody battle. When you're in the middle of a litigated divorce. I can say that.
Well, there goes my social life.
Okay, girl. It is what it is, girl. Listen,
All right. So let's do some recaps of these action steps. So I'll hit the first one. The first one is a big one. When you get that email, that letter, that note, you are not going to respond. You're going to take a beat. You're going to see if you can get your lawyer on the phone. If you can't, you're going to go do something like Mia said, whatever is your jam, a walk, a meditation, a run, especially if you're not Andrea or Morgan. You're going to do all of these things to calm yourself. Then you're going to give it 24 hours and you're going to start a timeline or an evidence, kind of a bucket list. If you need to know what those look like, go to our website, buy the DCC or any of our guides. We help you through that. So that's the first action step when you get one of these emails or horrible, nasty grams. Andrea, what else you got?
Step number two is don't kid yourself that you're not hurting. You need to acknowledge the fact that something happened, okay? Take a minute. You can even say the word, ouch, out loud. Ouch, that hurts. Yep. I feel scared. With this action step, I want everybody to know something. Mia said something to me yesterday on our call that really stuck with me. Mia, how many strong parents does a child need? Your kids need one strong parent.
They need one rock.
One rock. You yourself, right now, you are that rock. Continue to be that rock. And one of the ways that you continue to stay strong is to admit that you're hurting. Pretending that you're not hurting is not going to do anybody any favors. That rock will start to erode. But you're giving yourself that power. When you say, okay, yeah, ow, you punched me in the face. I feel that hurt. But guess what? I'm not going to remain lying here on the floor. I'm going to get the fuck up. I'm going to get a pack of frozen peas for my face, and we're going to keep it moving, and I'm going to be smart. And that's how you're going to remain a rock for your children.
Action number three. Listen, if you are in divorce psychosis and your lawyer is not seeing it, maybe because they don't have eyes on you, tell them. Don't tell them every day. You know when you're in the worst place ever, okay? You might be in bad places. It might be, Andrea and I always say day by day or hour by hour, but when you are in the dumpster, that is when you're going to tell your lawyer. And that doesn't matter if it's coming up to a court date or coming up to a big decision you have to make, or maybe like Mia said, you're standing next to your lawyer in the middle of a court hearing, in the middle of litigation. If you are having a moment or a day where your brain can't physically make a decision, tell your lawyer. They want to know, they're there to protect you.
That's absolutely right. And be mindful about when and where you fall apart. And that is actually a question that you do need to ask your attorney. You need to ask your attorney. Your attorney knows your judge. Your attorney is the eyes and ears of everything. So that should be one of the questions that you ask when you are preparing to go and litigate. Hey, if I feel myself getting really emotional, do you want me to tap out of this thing? Do I need to let you know so we pause and you pull me out? Or does this judge want to see a few tears? Ask these questions. You don't know if you don't ask. Mia, this conversation was so many things. And I want to give you a moment before we bid everybody goodbye. Is there anything that wasn't said that you feel like all of these listeners who are preparing for a divorce battle should know?
So first of all, if I had a magic wand, I would make your podcast go viral, Andrea and Morgan, because I am a practitioner. And, you know, there's a lot of folks out there, divorce coaches, blah, 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 lawyers, blah, 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 who are not qualified. But you guys are the real deal help people. And you guys have tools out there, toolkits that would help people. And so the final thing that I would say as an addendum to something that both Morgan said and I said, you know, listen, if you have emotion and if you're silently crying at the table, that's your humanity. That's your humanity. I want you to know that during my litigated custody matter, I cried. And the reason why I cried was because my two precious sweet Hannah and Noah were at issue. How could I not cry? And I will tell you, it had an amazingly positive impact on the judge, the judge's court's attorney, the AFC, because it was real emotion. Now, I wasn't, you know, talking constantly in my lawyer's ear and showing this angst, but I was a mom. My two precious children were at issue, right? A third party person is going to be making decisions about my children. A judge is going to make decisions because me and dad couldn't come to a settlement. And so I spent most of my time at the table crying. So I don't want anybody to take away that we're saying, oh, if you start crying, your lawyer needs to get you out. No, there's a human aspect of it all. And so the delineation, what we're saying is cry when you need to cry because something real is going on, but also have the mind to do business. Like, just like Morgan said, after you've had a cooling off period, write down your quote unquote rebuttals to their lies. Because in the realm of law, if somebody alleges something, and you don't correct that allegation or deny that allegation, the allegations are deemed true. Like, I mean, Morgan said it. You've got to refute it, but just refute it in a pragmatic way. No, it wasn't a cloudy day. Here's a picture. The picture is time stamped. It was sunny. So, like, I just can't emphasize, it's not about money. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about whether you can afford to retain Morgan, whether you can retain to afford Mia. It's about the toolkits that you leverage and, you know, how not to suck at divorce is offering toolkits that everybody can tap into, right? And do you have to pay something for the toolkits? Absolutely, but it's de minimis. But which of us minds paying a de minimis cost when our children are at issue? So I just want to reiterate that. And I feel lucky, Morgan and Andrea, to really be a part of the tribe. Like, it was fortuitous. It was metaphysical vibrations. Your vibrations and my vibrations had to cross. And I'm very thankful for this, but I'm more thankful and I'm going to call it. This episode of your podcast is going to help so many because when a Christian Southern Baptist from South Carolina, a Jew and a Gentile with a foul mouth. Oh, merge.
Shame on.
Game on, girlfriend.
Better watch out. Mia Poppy, I have loved every minute of this conversation. I am so glad that we were able to offer this. You guys, we're going to put links to this incredible woman in our show notes because there is so much more to learn about her background and what she can offer you. So go check her out. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight and your metaphysics with our listeners today.
My heart is full.
So look, if you started this show, How to Prepare for a Divorce Battle, you're probably in a really shitty place. And guess what? When we started the show, we were there right with you, but we're in a better place now. And this show shows you that with the knowledge and with the information, once you prepare yourself, you're going to feel so much better. And I'm so happy we brought on this guest.
And you know what? Everything does get better, but it doesn't just get better because you will it to get better. You have to take the right steps. And listening to this show is a step in that right direction. So guess what? We're proud of you. You're already doing something to help yourself and to help your children and to get you one step closer to the other side of this thing. Guys, keep listening to these episodes. If you're new to the show, hey, go back and listen to some old episodes. We're here to hold your hand. If you don't yet have the Divorce Crash Course, get your hands on the Divorce Crash Course. Go grab our guides. Join our private community. Follow us on social. We are here to hold your hands every single step of the way through your divorce process.
And if you liked our show and liked our guests, which we did very much, please rate and review us. It allows us to get the very best guests and be as picky and choosy as we are on this show. Remember, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Some days it's you're barely hanging on and it's day by day. Other days it's hour by hour, and that is okay. You will get through this. How do we know it? Because Andrea was in your seat at one point and she is out on the other side much happier. And I see it every day as a divorce lawyer. You will get through this.
You have no idea where your life can be 5 years from now, you guys. If you're doggy paddling, guess what? Your arms are going to get stronger. You're going to look amazing in a tank top, too. But hey, remember, my friends, you have got this.
And we have got you.